It's an oldie but a goodie. Yes? Saw a couple of you singing it from your heart. It was beautiful. I love watching worship. I can't wait to experience it all the days of my life. How about you? You know, we're practicing on this earth what we're going to do for eternity. And I don't think we're going to be standing in heaven going, "'Tis so great to trust." We're going to be like, "It is so great to trust in Jesus."
I think it'll break your eardrums.
I hope so. I can only imagine. We can only imagine. That should be a song, right? Yeah, how about it? Yeah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We praise you. You are our best friend. You're our healer. You're our creator. You are our God. And we want to learn to love you more. We want to learn to trust you more, to serve you more, to reflect you more. More, Jesus. Create in us a desire to want more. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, does anybody have a clue of what I've been talking about for the last month? Because if you do, would you just explain it to me? I mean, do we really get anything week to week from my...
We tell us about Jesus.
That's cool. The power and authority we have in Jesus' name that I am guilty of leaving on the table. Why do I do that? Why don't I walk in his strength and power? Oh, I just want to take one more step closer to him today. How about you? You know what? You guys are so fortunate because you only hear this message for like 20 minutes. And I hear this message for like 20 hours. Maybe that's why it's denting me. Maybe that's why when I sing these hymns, I'm crying. Because when I actually listen to the words we're trying to sing, there is great information to sink our hands into. There's great information in this thing we call God's Word. And we leave it on the table. I think I'm not going to preach where I lead you to the food. So often I say, for your benefit, you check out, read Ephesians. It's five little chapters. You can read it in about 12 minutes. But instead of doing that kind of stuff, leading you to good food like every good sheep herder, shepherd, pastor should do, I don't think I want to just say, hey, check out Ephesians 1 this week. I'm going to start preaching God's word, which is like watching a video. Because if I were sitting where you're sitting, I don't know what I would take if the guy just read the Bible. But sometimes I think we need to hear God speak to us through his word, not so much my idea of what I think this thinks, and I think you should think what I think. I want you to be open and receptive to his word. I think for the last month, I've been asking you to evaluate your relationship with your God. How fitting to be in February. And I'm thrilled with the response that people have been putting on our bulletin board. Who is Jesus to you? I don't know how many people go around the world thinking on that question. I think we've been blinded, dulled. I think there's a veil, scales, blinding in front of us. And that's what we're going to look at today. What, and last week I closed with what or who is keeping you from receiving the power and authority you, Christian, have in Jesus' name. Did I already pray? I feel like I need to pray again. Father, would you just give us hyper-focusedness, that there would be no distraction, that the evil one would be outside, off the campus, and have no dominion here. I ask this in Jesus' name. Let it be so. So when we respond to God's calling on our lives and accept Jesus as our Savior, do you know what takes place? We begin a lifelong process of transformation. What does that look like? We can see it in a butterfly. How many have ever seen a really yucky looking worm that turns into a little beautiful caterpillar and then bursts into this gorgeous flutterby butterfly? And that's what we're to do. We start out ugly and we go through this process and we stretch and then we fly. We become what we were created to be. We move forward from a childlike faith to maturing in our faith walk. What we do is we choose to follow Jesus' instruction in Matthew 7:14. You know what that is? To enter through the narrow gate. And then we walk on the narrow road with him. Wow. Have you come to that crossroad? Have you met Jesus with his arms stretched open wide, pointing you in the direction, the way you should go? Have you experienced that? Have you made your choice? Have you heard his voice saying, you know, the decision is yours? Are you in the process of change? Are you an ugly thing? Are you a little caterpillar? Are you a beautiful butterfly? Soaring on the winds of Christ? Have you stepped out of the world to be transformed? Or are the trappings of the world got your attention to where you're so distracted? You have to understand the transformation begins with the renewing of the mind. I know some of you know it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I think that's what it is. Yeah. It tells us, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's one. I love it when you're here because you're always like right there. It's awesome. When we respond to Christ, listen, he puts a desire in us to be transformed. Is anybody here sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Yeah, you. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired, or you're not sick and tired? You're like, life is grand. I just get up in the morning, do my homework, and that's awesome. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want to be transformed. We saw last week that something happens when he, Jesus, God, touches us. That's the starting point. We undergo a change. We become, listen, more and more like him. Don't you dare become more and more like me. I'll hit you. You become more and more like him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him, as we are changed into his glorious image. You know, an indication that this is taking place, that it's happening, is that we begin to show the fruit of the Spirit. And how is this achieved? Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the book. Galatians 5:16 tells us, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your heart. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed quote. You will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. The heart, the core of your being, that which makes you up, that only God sees. I can't see your heart. You can be gorgeous on the outside, but the heart can be ugly. I think the Bible says it can be wicked above all things. We can't begin to be transformed into God's likeness by our own efforts. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to get lots of money. I'm going to provide for everybody. Doesn't do it. Jesus says in John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. We are dead. I think we talked about that in the past. This transformation can only come about by the power of God in the form of His Holy Spirit, which Mary Beth just said this morning, living in us. If you don't think you have power and authority, she's here to tell you today, that's a lie. It's not true. Thanks for priming the pump. Well done. Our focus in life should be on living by the Spirit, giving Him control of our lives and being guided and empowered by Him. Who's the guy flailing in the front of the church? Somebody who's head over heel in love with God, who He is making a difference in my life. And I really do want to be like a little bug. I want to be contagious. So contagious that when you stand around me, you want to put a mask on. Because I want to infect you with the love of Jesus. I wish that was your desire too. Know this, if our focus is on the Holy Spirit, the fruit will come. That's the natural byproduct. You can't hold it back. I can't help it if I'm loving and kind and gentle. It's not me. It's Him in me. Ephesians 6:10 tells us, we are strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. It is only in His power that we can begin to succeed at anything we do in this life. You want your life to be better? Give it to Jesus. Ask Jesus. Don't take a step without Jesus. I often pray, God, let my footsteps be in your footprints. Is that how close you follow Jesus? Or are you wandering to the right and to the left? Or the other way around for you guys. We are to consciously seek to cultivate each aspect of the fruit. I'm not going to test you, but there's a list in Galatians 5:22 and 23. It lists God's fruit. It's not fruits, it's fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I knew. As we undergo transformation, we reveal God's character. As Christians, without the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we will not successfully reflect Christ well. And we may hinder our testimony. Romans 7, chapter 7, verses 4 through 6, and I'm not going to read them. This is why I say I really should. But when we're controlled by a sinful nature, we bore fruit for death. That's what this passage says. And when we serve the new way of the Spirit, we bear fruit to God. That's the natural happening. It all boils down to the attitude of the heart. The condition of the heart leads to different kinds of fruit. We're not all loving, we're not all kind, we're not all patient, but we're all part of that. God's desire is that we bear the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 3 speaks of the fruit of righteousness. And what that is to look like. It's to be loving and joyful. It's to be slopping over, full of peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness. And listen, learning to master self-control, because I didn't master that one yet. Nor do I think I will in my lifetime. In Philippians 1:9, Paul encourages us to overflow more and more with a love for others. And at the same time, to keep on growing in spiritual knowledge and insight. And then if you're in Philippians 1 and you go down to verse 11, it says that we always would be doing those good and kind things that show we are a child of God. For this will bring much praise and glory to the Lord. Do you know why we're on this planet? To bring praise, honor, and glory to God. That is what we're going to be doing for eternity. And we're failing miserably on the planet. What are we going to do when we get to heaven? Really? Sing old hymns? Or are we going to sing new contemporary upbeat songs? I know. I'm never going to throw out the hymns. I enjoyed every one that was selected today. Whoever selected them, thanks. Well done. Ephesians 5, 5 through 11, and Romans 20 through 22 speak of the benefits that we reap of this righteousness. We read in Ephesians 5, you can be sure of this. That means pay attention. So what can we be sure of? This is what God's word says. The kingdom of Christ and of God will never belong to anyone who is impure or greedy. For a greedy person is really an idol worshiper. He loves and worships the good things of life more than God. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the terrible wrath of God is upon all those who do them. Boy, I'm really glad this isn't my thought process. This is the truth of God's word. He goes on to say, listen, don't even associate with such people. For though once your heart was full of darkness, darkness is what, class? Sins, yeah. Now it's full of light from the Lord, and your behavior should show it. Because of the light, because of this light within you, you should do only what is good and right and true. Learn as you go along what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless pleasures of evil and darkness, but instead rebuke and expose them. That's the power and authority. I'm not doing that ever again. Get thee behind me, Satan. Is that redundant? Have you heard that before? Have you said it? And you know what? We need to say it. Well, I need to say it moment by moment, truth be told. In Romans 6, we read, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. Woohoo! It's a party. Let's live large. And then Paul says, what benefit did you reap at that time of the things you're now ashamed of? There are things that I have experienced that I really wish I never experienced. You know, they say that your brain can't hold. I mean, you can renew your thinking. It takes 21 days. There's things that I've experienced in my life that I can't even recall because they are so buried. I don't even know where to begin to look for them. We can change. Thank you, Jesus. What benefit did you reap of the things you're now ashamed of? Listen, those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result, listen, class, is eternal life. I'm going to live for eternity with my Creator God. And here's the sad truth. The people in that development down the street at Walmart and Wawa and on the street that have never heard the name of Jesus are going to live for eternity. We don't not live. This life, we're just passing through. I know I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with my Maker. And people that don't know, I know they're going to spend eternity separated from the love of God. And what stinks is they're going to know it. My Bible says everyone will stand before the Lord. They're going to say, Jesus is Lord. Do you understand that the devil, Satan himself, will stand before God and say, you are Lord. I tried my entire time, but you are Lord. And they're going to be separated. And that's going to be the burning and the gnashing of teeth, because we're going to want to be with Jesus. The New Testament uses fruit. I'm one paragraph behind myself. Fruit can be shown in such ways as to how we conduct our lives. When I walk down the street, do I look like Christ or do I look like the world? I think I dressed a couple months ago really good. And then kind of just blue jeans and a t-shirt the way I was. I'm not saying that a suit and tie is the way you're supposed to be. I just choose not to preach in jeans and a t-shirt. God looks at the heart. When we go out into the world, do we have a godly influence? You really need to know Jesus. Is that the conversation you start up at Thanksgiving? And Christmas? With your family? Me neither. That's a hard conversation. You know where I start that conversation? When I walk into a house like this. You know, there's saved and unsaved people sitting there. I proclaim the message. God does the work through it. I don't do anything. Do we, when you walk down the street, represent or reflect God properly? Like sometimes, not so much. My witness, not you, I don't spend any time with you. She knows me pretty well. Like when I drive, or when I hit my thumb, or when a glass breaks, it's not pretty. So the New Testament uses fruit in two instances. There's the harvest of souls that we bring to the Lord. Look at the fruit. And then there's the evidence of godly character. So church, show me the fruit. Since fruit is the visible expression of the Holy Spirit power working inwardly, and I add invisibly in us, in our lives, our focus should be on allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to work within us. Have your own way, Lord. Have thine own way. This is why I don't sing in the ministry. Do, 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 do. If we do that, the fruit of the Spirit will be evident. They're going to go, you're different. Why are you different? And I want what you have. That's what happens. If we're living by the Spirit, we will live out the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said in John 13:35, by this all men will know that you're my disciples. How will they know? If you love one another when they're unlovable, when they're haters of God. Love is one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. Here's the major problem with the church today. People on the street don't see the fruit. They say, you know, they don't look any different than the rest of us. That's the sad truth about the church today. There are those who may seem as though they show a whole lot of the characteristics listed in Galatians 5:22-23. They can be loving and joyful and kind and patient. But I want to tell you that can be counterfeit.
Don't I look nice? Look, the condition of our heart cannot, because that's who we are. And until God does that work, like you were saying, we're not going to, we'll have no desire to make a difference for the kingdom. If our faith doesn't produce change in the way we live our lives, what good is it? Just saying. Listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 3 has to say about this. Are we beginning to be like those false teachers of yours who must tell you all about themselves and bring long letters of recommendation with them? I think you hardly need someone's letter to tell you about us, do you? And we don't need a recommendation from you either. The only letter I need is you yourselves. By looking at the good change in your hearts, everyone can see that we have done a good work among you. They can see that you are a letter from Christ written by us. It is not a letter written with pen and ink, but the Spirit of the living God. Not one carved on stone, but in the human heart. Who does the script? You? We dare to say good things about ourselves only because of our great trust in God through Christ, that He will help us to be true to what we say. And not because we think we can do anything of lasting value by ourselves. Our only power and success comes from God. He is the one who has helped us tell others about His new agreement to save them. We don't tell them that they must obey every law of God or die, but we tell them there is life for them from the Holy Spirit. The old way, trying to be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments, ends in death. In the new way, the Holy Spirit gives them life, and yet that old system of law that led to death began with such glory that people could not bear to look at Moses' face. For as He gave them God's law to obey, His face shone out with the very glory of God, though the brightness was already fading away. Shall we not accept far greater glory? I'm sorry. Shall we not expect far greater glory in these days when the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the plan that leads to doom was glorious, much more glorious is the plan that makes men right with God. In fact, that first glory as it shone from Moses' face is worth nothing at all in comparison with the overwhelming glory of the new agreement. So if the old system that faded away into nothing was full of heavenly glory, the glory of God's new plan for salvation is certainly far greater, for it is eternal. Since we know that this new glory will never go away, we can preach with great boldness. Not as Moses did, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites could not see the glory fade away. Not only Moses' face was veiled, but his people's mind and understanding were veiled and blinded too. Even now, when Scripture is read, it seems as though Jewish hearts and minds are covered by a thick veil because they cannot see and understand the real meaning of the Scriptures. For this veil of misunderstanding can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writing, their hearts are blind and they think that obeying the Ten Commandments is a way to be saved. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord from his sins, then the veil is taken away. The Lord is the Spirit who gives them life. And where He is, there is freedom from trying to be saved by keeping the law of God. But we Christians have no veil over our face.
we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more and more and more like Him. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The whole chapter, because I've invited you to read these things, and that's what we're leaving on the table. I know that's a lot of words to hear, so read it for yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, at verse 7, Paul is writing about a time when Moses came down off of Mount Sinai to the Israelites, and he had his face covered. And what Paul just said is his countenance was fading away. Can you imagine, like, he's standing in the presence of God? That I can't begin to imagine. But can you imagine what that brightness must have been like? Because how long did it take to get from the top of the mountain down? And so it's fading away. Look at the opposite at verse 18 in comparison. Because Moses is fading away. And they're talking about what should be happening with us. We should be radiating the glory of God. Verse 18 says, "We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing," not decreasing. More and more and more. I want to radiate. I want to reflect you more, Jesus. How about you, church? Would you agree that a Spirit-led Christian should look different? Yes. There should be something about them that sets them apart from those who don't believe. Without the Spirit of God, we don't possess the ability to reflect Him. We lost that ability with the fall of man. Romans 3:23 tells us we all fall short. That's the God's honest truth. But because of the cross, well, there should be more crosses in here. But because of the cross, it's been restored to whom? Preachers, missionaries, people over 53 inches tall, to all who believe Jesus is Lord. So that's either you or it's not. That's the God's honest truth. And I believe God is pursuing you. Maybe through my words, more than likely not, but I bring you to good food that has power to change your life for eternity. And in turn, you have the opportunity to put a little dent, a little chip in someone else's seed so it'll break open and grow into who we've been created to be. We're to be witnesses. Acts 1:8 tells us, when the Holy Spirit has come on you, you might receive. No, it doesn't say that. You let me down, buddy. You let me down. You will receive power to testify about me with mundane, kind of half-hearted effectiveness. I'm going to start. Acts 1:8 tells us, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power to test about me with great effect to the people in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth, about my death and resurrection. Let me tune that up for you. You have been given power to go into Burnville and Bethel and Reading to tell people about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Because anything other than that is useless. It's in the power of the blood. We are to be living testimonies. And over the coming weeks, we're going to be seeing what this looks like. What faith in action looks like. What it's made up of. Because quite honestly, I don't have a clue. How about you? Do you know what faith looks like? Oh, sure, we know the top one. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. Well, what is that? And there's a bajillion other faith references that we're going to be unpacking so we can become what God created us to be. I believe He created us to be a church on fire. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You that it does have meaning, that it can be picked up and applied and put into practice. And I pray that You would create in us a desire to do just that. That we wouldn't leave this information on the table for another day. That we would mine Your word, Your scriptures, and store that wealth in our heart, and then share and invest it with others. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.